Let's start in verse number 1. I want to talk tonight about some signs of His coming. There's never been a time in my lifetime that the world economy has been in the shape that it's in right now. About a week ago, we topped $16 trillion in debt as United States of America. You remember when we used to do that little clock? We did that about 2 years ago. You know what it was back then? It was about $12 trillion. So in 2 to 3 years, we added $4 more trillion to our debt. And we're the United States of America. 2000, I was in Europe, and we were in Spain doing some missions work, and they had just started the euro. And boy, that was supposed to be the hottest thing. It was supposed to displace the dollar. It was so good. Well, I'm telling you tonight, 12 years later, the euro's in big trouble. Big trouble. Amen. Japanese yen's in problem. In trouble. Every economy is on shaky ground. Amen. What's that saying, Brother Grissom? You know what it's saying to me is we're getting ready to see the initiation of a new monetary system. We've been talking about that. Let's get rid of all these different currencies. Let's just get one. A world currency. And we don't need bills and checks. If we could just put a little chip in everybody's hand, that's all it would take. And then wouldn't that be great? You wouldn't have to care billfold. You wouldn't have to worry about somebody stealing your money because you wouldn't have any. Amen. The only way they could get your numbers, cut your hand off. That'd be bad. If you had it in your forehead and they cut your head off, it wouldn't matter much anyway. But wouldn't that be nice? You just go in the grocery store and you get all your stuff and you don't even have to stop at a checkout. And then you just, when you push it through the door, there's little sensors in there and it tells the computer everything you got in your cart. And it's got everything in there that every price is there and everything is there. And then it reads your number and it takes money out of your account and puts it in their account. Boy, you talk about zipping right through. That sounds good, doesn't it? Except it's got its drawbacks. Amen. The Bible said that whoever takes that mark is going to be separated from God. I'm not saying that that's going to happen in the next 2 days, but I'm saying that we are living on the eve of it right now. We're watching economies ready to collapse. And I'm telling you, this is not just a few people that are on the fringe. For the first time in my lifetime, the first time in modern history, the United States of America, our credit rating was downrated. Last year, we went from an A+ to an A-. You know what? This week it was downgraded again. That's never happened. But it's happening now. Amen. If I had my confidence in the banking system, I'd be worried right now. Amen. If I was trusting this world system, I'd be scared right now. But the Bible said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, He said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We're almost there. We're almost there. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Jesus and the disciples were in Jerusalem at feast time. The temple in Jerusalem was indeed one of the greatest actual marvels of its time. It was made of glistening white marble. Some of those rocks were as much as 40 feet long, 12 feet wide, and 12 feet tall. The eastern side of the main structure was covered with golden plates so that it would reflect the sun as it rose, and you could see the glistening of the temple miles and miles away. It was a very impressive structure. The construction began 20 BC by Herod the Great, and he worked on the temple his whole life. They were still doing construction on the temple in 70 AD. 90 years later, they were still working on the temple. And they were still constructing the temple when it was destructed by the Romans. But they were impressed with it. It was a beautiful building, no doubt about it. And so the disciples, they were showing Jesus the glory of the temple. And Jesus said to them, all of these things, he said, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That sounded almost like something impossible to do. But in 70 AD, under the leadership of Titus the general, the Roman general, they threw scaffolds against the wall, and they threw fire against the wall, and till the stones became so hot, they would explode and they would crumble into small pieces. And they would sift through the rubble and find pieces of gold. And they would take the rubble and they would cast it out into the Kidron Valley. And so literally this prophecy came true, just like Jesus said less than 40 years after he made the proclamation. And as they were sitting on the Mount of Olives, just across the valley, right above Gethsemane, it was a beautiful place to look over the city. And as they sat there, they asked Jesus these three things. When shall these things be? That is, the destruction of the temple. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end world? And so Jesus then goes on in this chapter to answer those questions and to give us some things that we can look for. One of the things that Jesus said that we should look for in the end time is deception. Fourth and the fifth verse, Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. One thing you got to watch out for in these end times, he said, you got to watch out for deceivers. There are people that are coming to deceive us. In the 11th verse, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. In the 23rd verse, and if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Did you hear that? Get ready for it. There are people that are going to do signs and wonders and miracles, but they are not the Christ. Hello, if you're looking for signs, you can be deceived. If you're just looking for miracles, you can be deceived. Amen, that there's one thing that's going to keep us in this last time, and that is to know the Word of God and know the voice of God and know Jesus Christ and fall so deeply in love with Him that you'll know His voice and obey His voice. Hear me. Deception is going to be one of the greatest dangers of the end time. A lot of people that start this journey are not going to finish this journey because they have a wrong foundation and they're serving for the wrong motive. There's only one motive that's going to get us through. You got to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. That's what's going to take us through. He said, look out for deceivers and look out for deception. Another of the signs Jesus said would come, He said, verse 6, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. This last year we completed the longest war in America's history when we finally brought our soldiers home from Iraq. But we're still fighting a war in Afghanistan. This week, three of our embassies were assaulted. Four Americans, including the first ambassador to be slain on foreign soil since 1979, was killed this week. Amen. As an assault on our American embassies has increased, and not only that, but in other countries, they are emulating the same thing. They're pulling our staff and personnel out of countries all over the Middle East and Northern Africa, because they fear there's going to be even more. I'm just telling you, folks, we're in some trouble here. We're in some trouble here. Amen. There's a volatile atmosphere in the world today. Amen. Now, I know the guys is that they said somebody made a movie here in the United States that insulted the prophet Muhammad. And so that's what all that hullabaloo is about over there, but that's not the whole reason. Amen. Some others already had a plan. And on 9/11, they attacked the embassy in Libya, murdered our ambassador there, and three Americans with him. I'm just saying tonight what Jesus said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And there's other wars. This is just scratching the surface. One of the greatest dangers to the world right now is the country of Iran. They are quickly developing. We have no idea how close they are to developing nuclear weapons. And the problem is when they get it, if they don't use it, they'll sell it to somebody that will. They have constantly threatened Israel and said, we're going to wipe you off of the face of the earth. Well, first of all, I got news for them. That ain't going to happen. Because I read this book tonight, and there's a God in heaven that said, I put my name there, and they're not going to blot out the name of God. As long as His name is in Jerusalem, the entire world may turn against Jerusalem. But God will protect His name. But they're threatening. The drums of war are already beating. Of course, you know what Iran calls us? The great Satan. And if they could, they'd get some bombs over here. We're a little far for them, but they'd sure like to. Amen. And if they get them, you can be sure of one thing. They'll find a way to get it done. Wars. Rumors of wars. War and the constant rumor of war. That's what the Bible said is going to happen in the end times. You can't read any day's paper without reading about war somewhere or the rumor of war somewhere else. It just lets us know that war is one of the signs of the end time. And then Jesus goes on to talk about natural disasters. Verse 7, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Famines. I know that you and I are very sheltered tonight. We ought to thank God every day that we live in the United States of America. When you open your refrigerator and you see food in there, you need to thank God every day. This really came home to me when I visited people in Colombia. Nobody in Colombia has a big refrigerator. They don't need one. If they have a refrigerator, it's just a little one because they can't afford much to put in there. Maybe it's not even a carton of milk. It's usually a bag, plastic bag of milk. It may have a little milk in there. It might have an egg or two. Amen. But they kind of live from day to day. You're not going to see very many ranges like you and I cook on. Mostly you're going to see camp stoves with two burners. And there'll be a little hose coming in from the outside attached to a gas bottle on the outside. And that's what they're going to cook on. And I'm talking about the vast majority of the homes in Colombia. If you go and see your brothers and sisters over there, they'd be so glad for you to come. But it's going to be a little different than what you got here. When you walk in their little house, amen, most of their house is going to fit in your living room. Amen. But you know what? They'll be glad to see you. They'll treat you good. You may not get anything but crackers and water because that might be all they've got. But you'll get the best they have. I'm just saying tonight that it's not the same everywhere as it is here. Amen. It's a lot different over there. And that's in the good times. If you go to some of the other countries, what a travesty that Africa is one of the greatest countries as far as natural resources on the face of the earth. But because of their politics and because of their leadership, there's literal starvation all across the continent. I'm talking about people literally starving to death. I read that a large percent, perhaps 50% of the world's population goes hungry every day. Now that's hard to imagine, isn't it? Do you know how many people are in the United States of America? About 300 million. A little less. We don't really know because we don't know how many are here illegally. But somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 million. Amen. Do you know how many is in the continent or the nation of Canada? Probably less than 30 million. And then you go down through Mexico, about 100 million. And you go down through Central America, and you'll add perhaps another 60 million. Then you go down to South America, and it'll be about the same as North America. But in all of these continents, there's barely over a billion people. But you go across the sea, and you go to Asia. China, just the nation of China itself, has plus 1 billion people, three times, almost four times probably, the population of the United States of America. India has about 1 billion people just in the country of India. And that's hard for us to fathom. But that's where poverty is. That's where famine is. pestilence. What in the world is pestilence? It's epidemics and diseases. Here in the United States, you get a little bit, feel a little bit under the weather, and you just go to the doctor and get some pills. Amen. Or get shot. Shots. Amen. You get help. Or you can just go down to the grocery store and get it off of the shelf. And we're so blessed. My, we're blessed. Oh, we're blessed. But in so many countries of the world, they have diseases that if they just had a little bit of what we have, they wouldn't have those diseases. But they don't even have, it's not available to them. They don't have it. Pestilences. And then he says earthquakes. Boy, earthquakes are on the rise. We've had earthquakes just this last week. There was an earthquake in Central America. There's earthquakes almost every week somewhere. It's not that there hasn't always been earthquakes, but it's the frequency. And it's the increase in the severity is what we're talking about. It's as if the earth is shuddering in this last days. So Jesus said there'll be natural disasters. And then he said there'll be persecutions. The 9th verse. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now that's not how you win friends and influence people. If this, had been a positive thinker here, he wouldn't have told you that part. If he would have just been trying to get you to sign up and sign on, he wouldn't have told you that part. But Jesus told his disciples up front. He said, you're going to be afflicted. Now, some of us have had a little bit of affliction. Amen. If you've ever even been spoken to in a negative sense and it hurt your feelings. Amen. I haven't had much, but I've had a little bit. As in Colombia. I know Spanish, but I don't know any bad words in Spanish. Not one. Don't know none. Don't know one. Not even one. But I'll tell you what. When I heard people looking at me with hate in their eyes and saying words I didn't know, I knew what they were saying. And I could just smile and say, same to you. Because I had no idea what they were saying, but I knew it wasn't a blessing. If I understood just enough to know that, I'm glad I didn't know what they were saying. I went to one guy's house, and when he went to get his pistol, I just kindly dismissed myself. I went to another house, and they went for their knife, and by the time they got back, I'm not a coward, I'm smart. The scripture says we're not supposed to tempt the Lord. I want to go to heaven, just not right now. Amen. We've had a few of those, been tossed around a little bit, swung at a few times. Nobody ever contacted yet. Persecution, he said, they're going to afflict you. He said, and listen, they're going to kill you. Now, there are martyrs in the United States of America. There are martyrs in South America, Central America. There are martyrs in the Middle East, in Africa, and in Asia. Amen. There are martyrs all over the world today. We got some good news this last week. A man that we prayed for, Yusuf, was delivered. He's an Iranian. I didn't know until this week he's an apostolic preacher. He's one of us. But he was delivered and set free. They had sentenced him to execution. He had been in prison for about 3 years. And this last week, finally, they just let him go. Praise the Lord. It was an answer to prayer. To God be the glory. But he said that some are not going to be set free. And then he said, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. For my name's sake. Amen. Praise God. And so, get ready, folks. It's already started. It's already started. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hate's already started. You know, the world, they brand you as hating without even knowing who you are. They talk about how much you hate homosexuals. We don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. Amen. I have family members that are homosexual. I have friends that are homosexual. I don't hate anybody. Amen. I hate sin. I don't condone or approve. But I don't hate anybody. And if you're a Christian, neither should you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Grissom. I'm glad you told me that. If this ever gets out somewhere, I wanted to get the whole message. Sister Melinda, that's why I'm afraid of ABC, NBC, or any of the rest of them. Because they'll make it say what they want it to say. And one of the dangers of what we're doing around here, preaching the gospel, making it available where people can get it online, who knows what they'll do with it. Amen. You know, it's dangerous if people can edit your word. Did you know there's a verse in the Bible that said Judas went out and hanged himself? And did you know there's another portion of Scripture that says, go thou and do likewise? So if you're not careful, you can tell people to go hang themselves. If you just edit, put a little bit here, a little bit there. Even one elder, he hated Pentecostal knots. You know those little Pentecostal knots that are so popular, and thank God for them? I think one of the blessings of Pentecost is little grannies with their little knot. But he didn't like them. And so he found a way to preach against them. He said, let him that is on the house top not come down. So he said, my message tonight is top not come down. Now that's stretching. Really stretching. But you see, you can edit things and you can make things say what you want them to say. And we've got a world that hates Christianity and hates Christians. They don't know us, but they hate us. Amen. And you know what we got to do? Is love them. Pray for them. Amen. That's our job. It's to show them that they're wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said persecution is going to be a part of the last day. I've heard people say, I don't know, Brother Grissom, if I can do that. Let me tell you something. His grace is sufficient for you. If you're a Christian and you find yourself in that situation, the grace of God is going to come down to you, and it's going to strengthen you, and it's going to put some steel in your backbone. It's going to put words in your mouth. It's going to put love in your heart, and you're going to be able to do things you'd never be able to do by yourself. Persecution is coming. And then here's something that we really need to understand. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended. Everybody say many shall be offended. You got to watch out for that. We got to get rid of thin skin. Let me say that again. We got to get rid of thin skin. We got to grow a hide like a rhinoceros. Amen. Because if you can be offended, you're going to be. If somebody can hurt your feelings, they're going to. If somebody can run you off, it's going to happen. You got to make up your mind. You didn't put me in the church, and you can't get me out. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many believe that today? The Lord puts you in the church. And if I may go as far as to say, the Lord put you in this church. And let me go a little bit further. If it's time for you to go, I'll know it as well as you. When Brother Martin came and said that he had a job that was going to take him away, I didn't like it. But I knew it was the right thing to do. I had another person tell me that the Lord had told him to leave, and I said, no, he didn't. He didn't tell you to go. You're leaving in the outside the will of God. And they told me another time later, said, I'm not sure, Pastor, but I did the right thing. I said, I told you before you left you didn't do the right thing. Amen. I'm not being mean when I say that. I'm being a shepherd when I say that. I don't like people to go, but if it's the will of God, I will let them go. But if it's not the will of God, then you can find yourself in trouble. Amen. And it's not a good thing. So you be careful. And if you come and you need to come, tell me. Don't you dare leave without saying. That's just tucking tail and running. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you come and tell me, Brother Grissom, I've been elected general superintendent. I think it's time for me to go. Amen. Well, if it's the will of God, I'll tell you. If it's not, and I don't have peace about it, I'll tell you that. Amen. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm the Lord of your life, but I am trying to tell you that I'm your friend. And I love you, and I'll always do my very best to do the right thing for you. I'll not hold you back from any good thing, but I'll try to protect you from any bad thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Brother Grissom, thank you for telling me that. Amen. And he said, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Woo! Isn't that terrible? Christians, so-called, are going to betray other Christians. My. And shall hate one another. Is that possible? Is it possible for Christians to hate somebody? Well, if you're not a Christian, it is. If you just say you are, but you're not, it is. Amen. So he said, that's one of the signs of the end time. Another sign, verse number 12, he said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I read something real interesting. I don't know if you've heard, but there was an evangelist back in the early days, I suppose in the 40s. He was well known. His name was Billy Sunday. And when in his heyday, when Billy Sunday went to a town, there usually was not a building big enough in the city for people to come out to hear him. That's how many people came to hear Billy Sunday when he preached. They would sometimes, they'd build a special building just so Billy Sunday could come preach there, because they wanted him to come and there just wouldn't be enough room without it. Amen. But in the mid-1940s, his crowds began to dwindle. Do you know why? The big T. Television. That's right. That's what happened to Billy Sunday's crowds. Television. What I'm saying is, he was the best show in town till television came along. And then people had an option. They could go hear Billy Sunday preach, or they could stay home and watch television. And most of the people, you know what? They decided to stay home and watch television. So then Billy Sunday could preach anywhere, because there were plenty of buildings to hold the crowd. Because now they had an option. You know what I appreciate about you being here tonight? You got lots of options. You're here because you want to be. The Bible said that because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because there are so many choices and there are so many venues for pleasure. And there are so many other areas that you can go and things you can do. Amen. I don't think I ought to tell that. It's a funny story, though. Well, you think it'd be all right? Well, let me just say it this way. I'm going to leave out the name to protect the innocent. But you know who it is. There was a person that we know that was playing the altar call. And they were playing this song, and just because they're a good musician, they're playing this song. And not thinking of what the song was, it just seemed to fit the service. The message had been about heaven. So the song was about heaven. And as they played, after a while they began to think and started singing the song. And it said, "Heaven's just a sin away." And then it dawned on them what they were playing. It had been working in an office where that song had been playing. And it got into their head. Something about heaven. That's the spirit of the age. Amen. There's a lot of choices, folks. People want to live for God today. They do it because they really want to live for God. Amen. You got to turn your back on some stuff today if you're going to live for the Lord. You got to make up your mind today if you're going to live for the Lord. Amen. We need to pray for men like Brother Hunt that they have to go to some pretty ungodly places. They have to fight some ungodly spirits. Amen. They have to live in an atmosphere that's horrible and horrendous. And where there's things that assail their soul every moment that they're away. That's what we're facing in this day and time. Amen. That's what we're facing. And your computer can be a great blessing or it can be a great curse. It can bring the best into your home or it can bring the worst into your home. Amen. For so many years we were worried about television. We should have been. It's not a good thing. At least it's programming. But I'm telling you today, the computer's far worse. Television has some government control, not enough, but some. But the computer has none. We got to be very careful. Amen. You need to keep it where it's very accessible to everybody in the family. You don't need to have it off in a room somewhere where you or your child can get on it and go to sites that they don't need to be going to. We got to be careful, folks. We're living in a wicked age. We're living in a vile, sinful world. The Bible said, "And because iniquity or sin or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Amen. There are people that should be here tonight, but they're not. Why? Well, they made a choice. If you're not in church, you made a choice not to be here. Something keeps us out. Amen. Well, I like preaching to quiet crowds. That means I'm getting through. No, I really don't. Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. The Lord told the church in Ephesus, He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Everybody say left. He didn't say they lost it. He said they left it. The good thing about leaving something is you know where to find it. If you lost it, you wouldn't know where to find it. But because they left it, He said you can go back and get it. So if you have misplaced or left your first love, you can go back and find it again. How do you find your first love? Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Amen. That's how you get back to first love, as you remember where you were. And then you repent. And then you get back to doing what you used to do. I hear people sometimes saying, man, I used to shout, what about now? I used to worship, what about now? I used to fast, what about now? I used to pray, what about now? I used to witness, what about now? You want first love? Do first works. Amen. He said that's one of the signs of the end time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. He said, for this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You see, people love themselves more than anything else. That's right. I love me, who do you love? A movie star was talking to somebody, talked to him for 45 minutes about themselves, just me. And after a while they said, enough about me, what did you think about my new movie? me. World's full of it, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what the next thing is? Man, should I even go there? Yeah, I should. Amen. Love yourself. And this is a little touchy here, but we're kind of getting into an age where people don't want you helping correct their children when they're wrong. We've had a little bit of, and this was brought up in our Sunday school meeting yesterday, but we've actually had a little, few times when people would criticize our teachers. I got a word for you. If you don't like the way they're teaching, you get out there and help. Don't you sit in here and criticize. If you don't think they're doing a good job, you get out there and try teaching yourself. Brother Grissom, thank you for telling me that. You like to come here and sit down and listen to the teaching, enjoy the worship, enjoy the Spirit of God. Amen. And put your children and your responsibilities over there on somebody else. And then have the audacity to criticize the job they're doing. Shame on you. Pray for them. Help them. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was real good, Brother Grissom. I'm glad you said that. That really helped us out. Lovers of our own selves. Full of self. Then the Bible said lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Amen. You know, boy, this is good stuff here. Man, we got all kinds of things to talk about tonight. There's nothing wrong with having toys, no matter how old you are. But there is something wrong with playing with your toys when you're supposed to be in church. But I got a boat, you know, and the only time I got to use it's on the weekend. Amen. You don't got a boat? Well, I got a motorcycle. And the only time I get to ride it is on the weekend. Huh? I'm not against toys. I'm just against toys that take you out of church. Amen. You got a boat? Now let's go fishing Monday morning. Amen. But we don't want to do it on Sunday. That's good preaching, Brother Grissom. Thank you for telling me that. Amen. I'm going to tell you how bad it is, folks. It has gotten so bad that there are churches, Christian churches, that on Super Bowl Sunday, they have a Super Bowl party instead of having church. And they worship a pigskin and a ball team more than the Savior of their soul. Well, thank you for telling me that. Amen. There's something wrong with that. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason that the Super Bowl's on Sunday. It could be on Saturday. It could be on Friday night. This started a long time ago. I'm trying to hurry here, but I'm having fun. Amen. I don't get to talk about some of this stuff very often. We never had a television in my home. Never did. But I used to go, sometimes on Sunday afternoon, we'd go to a relative's house. And they had a television. And you know what I learned? The best stuff comes on Sunday afternoon. Sunday night. We'd have to leave just as Bonanza was getting cranked. Amen. And Wonderful World of Disney was always on Sunday night. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Somebody told me they just started playing professional ball games on Wednesday nights. You see, there's a reason for that. Don't you believe it's not by design? If you fall in love with entertainment and you fall in love with pleasure, it'll take you away. Amen. The Bible talked about people being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It's okay to have recreation. You need recreation in your life. You do. You need to have some time and some fun with your family. But don't you let that be your first priority. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we got to be very careful about that. And then one sign of the coming of the Lord is the world's going to be evangelized. Hallelujah. The Bible said, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We're almost there. Amen. I don't remember. I forget. And I'll know here in a few days when we go to the general conference, I'll get a new report. But as far as I know, we're in at least 180, 182, I believe, nations. There's a little over 200 nations in the world. The United Pentecostal Church, all by itself, is almost there. Hallelujah. That's not including other organizations. I'm just talking about our little church. Amen. And we've almost got a church in every nation on the face of the earth. And the Bible said when this gospel's preached in all the world, He said, then the end's going to come. When everybody's had a chance, when everybody's had an opportunity. He said, that's one of the great signs of the end times. Amen. And I'm not through, but I'm going to quit. Amen. I'm going to save this for another time. We'll come back to some of this. But I want to close tonight with three imperatives. There are three things that Jesus tells us to do in the end time. The first thing, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, he said, but he that shall endure, everybody say endure, unto the end, the same shall be saved. The first thing you got to make up your mind is that I am going to endure. The Bible, the Lord, or Paul writing to Timothy, he said, endure hardness like a good soldier. Amen. We're in the Lord's army tonight, folks, and it shouldn't be made up of wimps. Amen. Isn't that right? That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to endure some things. I'm telling you, you got to get a thick skin. You've got to get a made up mind. You've got to get a strong heart. You've got to get a soft heart. Amen. You can't let your heart get hard. That's right. Amen. We can't let that happen. But we've got to endure. Amen. You've got to endure. You've got to endure. Amen. Whatever happens, whoever stays, whoever goes, you got to make up your mind, but I'm still going to be here in the end. Endure. The 42nd verse, he said, watch. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Endure and watch. Amen. Keep your eye on the eastern sky, because that's when the Lord's going to come. It's not going to be a secret when He comes. Amen. The world's going to see Him. Praise the Lord. The Bible said that the Son of Man is going to come in the clouds. It's like the lightning. It's hard to hide lightning. You can see it. He said where the carcass is, that's where the birds of prey gather. Have you ever been out in the old West? I grew up in the West. You see a bunch of birds circling around. You know what they're telling you? There's something dead over there. It's a sign that something died. So he's saying it's not going to be a secret. Amen. But you got to watch for it. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. But you got to watch. That's kind of what Peter said, wasn't it? He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You got to watch out for it. Watch! Everybody say watch. That's one of the words. He said endure, and he said watch. Verse 44, therefore be ye also ready. Be ready. Stay ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So he's saying you got to stay ready. Amen. A songwriter wrote a song some years ago. He said, don't sit down with your wedding garment on. It could get wrinkled. It could get torn. We got a wedding garment on tonight. And the Lord's coming. Amen. And we can't afford to sit down. We don't want to get it stained. We don't want to get it dirty. We don't want to get it wrinkled. We don't want to get it torn. Because the one that's coming, he said he's coming after a bride that hath made herself ready, without spot, without blemish, or any such thing. He's coming for somebody that's made themselves ready. Have you ever watched a bride get ready? That's a lot of watching. It starts early in the morning. Well, it starts months before that. But I'm talking about just the getting ready. After all the other stuff is ready. Amen. Some of them been planning it for ever since they were old enough to know what a wedding was. And then it takes a long time to get ready. But boy, they're getting ready. They're getting ready. Amen. I remember the day I got married. My wife, her entourage, and they went to the church and started getting ready. Brother Hart and I went swimming. And about 30 minutes before it was time, we got ready. It don't take long to put on a suit and a tie. But I wasn't the bride. It wasn't about me anyway. That was obvious. It's all about the bride. If you've ever been into what it's about, it's about the bride. I've never been to one and said, oh, look how beautiful the groom looks. Maybe my mama. But everybody else was looking at the bride. Because it's all about the bride. Amen. So you got to be ready, folks. He said, be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, some of men come. We got to get ready. Endure, watch, be ready. Endure, watch, be ready. endure, watch, be ready. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time tonight and your attention. Amen. Hey, it's not far off. We've been saying that, Brother Grissom. I've been hearing that my whole life. Oh yeah, you have. And you're going to keep hearing it. But you know what? It's closer today than it was when we first heard it. Amen. You know, I heard some stuff preached years ago that now it looks kind of silly, as far as prophecy is concerned, because they had no idea how this was come to pass. But I'm telling you what. Have you watched something as simple as a telephone in the last few years? And I read something funny a while ago. This grandma was looking for a telephone. And the little girl said, "You know what, Grandma?" She said, "Somebody ought to come up with a telephone that has a cord on it so you could find it." That's where it started. But we've been away from that for a long time. Amen. Church in Midland, in the fellowship hall, we had an old dial telephone. Numbers on it. You had to dial it. Not boop, 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 boop. But I mean, ring-a-ding-a-ding, ring-a-ding-a-ding, ring-a-ding-a-ding. That kind of telephone. That kind. And that was what we had. And the young person wanted to use a telephone. I said, "It's right over there." They said, "What's that?" I said, "It's a telephone. How do you use it?" Amen. It's come a long ways, hasn't it? It's come a long ways. Amen. From telling Mabel who you want to get connected to. But I remember, it hadn't been that long ago. First deputation, they had cell phones. They were in a big old bag. Big, huge bag. Cost a lot of money. But they had them. I couldn't afford one. Amen. 4 years later, second deputation. Amen. Foreign mission said, "We're going to give you a phone." I did notice they took the money out of my account, though. Give you a telephone. It's like our government. We're going to give you this. But you know where the money comes from? Your pocket. Anytime they say the government, look in the mirror, because that's you. You paying for it. They're not giving nobody anything. It comes right out of our pocket. And so foreign mission said, "We're going to give you a cell phone." I said, "Great." Every month. They took it out of my account. They gave it to me, though. But it was great, Brother Neil. I got to use that cell phone on deputation. Man, that saved me a lot of time. And saved me some money, too. First telephone. Amen. And then after a while, it wasn't very long until they got smartphones. They are smart, too. Amen. Right now, you can take a smartphone and you can reach anybody in the whole world that's got one. It's amazing, isn't it? Amen. It's amazing. Technology that you can hold in your hand. Amen. You know what that's telling me? And that hadn't been available very long. Did you know that, and I'm hurrying here, but when my mama was a little girl, her mom and dad took her and her brothers and sisters to Hobbs, New Mexico from Athens, Texas in a wagon. In a wagon. That was my mom. When my mom was a little girl, people still rode horses and in wagons. If she were alive today, should be 99 years of age. That's not that long ago. But my mom and her family, they were still traveling like Abraham did. That's right. They were still riding beasts of burden. They were still riding in wagons. For almost 5,000 years, that's how people travel. But in my mom's lifetime, she bought her first driver's license at a grocery store for 25 cents. And she kept that driver's license for over 20 years till she got stopped. And it wasn't working anymore. She got a ticket for not having driver's license. And then she had to go take a test and do the whole thing like everybody else. But I'm just telling you, in my lifetime, folks, I'm not that old, but in my lifetime, see what has happened? I remember the first microwave. Somebody told me that microwave will cook a baked potato in less than 10 minutes. I said, oh, no, it won't. Amen. I remember some of you remember microwaves, and people say, what in the world would I do with that? Now you can't do without one. Amen. Just in our lifetime. What am I saying? I'm saying all these inventions have brought us closer to the coming of the Lord. The computer has exploded with information and ways to gain information. But here's the thing, while you're using the computer, people are getting stuff from you. When you buy something, they say, uh-huh. And the next time you get on the computer, what you just bought, they're saying, would you like to have one of these? How'd they know that? Because they've been watching. They're watching you. Amen. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Amen. And it's Big Brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. These are the end times. These are the end times. They're upon us. Amen. Endure. Watch. Be ready. That's it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't we just talk to the Lord a minute here tonight? Go to the throne, shall we? Jesus Christ, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. You said that the love of some's going to grow cold. I don't want to, as I get older, don't let me get colder. But God, help me to stay on fire. Let the flame burn. Amen. Don't let it go out, but let it grow in its capacity. Let it grow in its fervency. Don't let the flame go out tonight. God, I gotta stay in love with Jesus. I gotta stay in love with Jesus. I want to stay in love with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Help me tonight, Jesus. Help me to endure. Help me to endure. Help me to endure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.